Well, I'm going to take my text for this sermon, not from the readings we've just had, but from Paul's letter to the Romans. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So today we're celebrating a victory, celebrating a conquest. Our enemy has been overcome, he's been defeated, destroyed. So let us rejoice. This is a great victory. It's a victory of light over darkness, a victory of good over evil, life over death, and God over the devil. Now, the first signs of this great victory was, as we have heard in the gospel, was when they found that the tomb was empty. Some of Jesus' followers had come to the graveside, and they weren't expecting to see anything that remarkable. They had come really to treat the body for burial. They'd had to wait because the day before had been the Sabbath. But when they got there, they found the tomb was empty. And we heard how they looked into the tomb, and it was there just as Jesus had laid there, with the grave clothes there and the cloth that was round his head. And we've heard that one of them, at least, immediately understood what had happened. He saw and believed. He saw and believed. So let's concentrate for a moment on this disciple. Not on Mary Magdalene, we'll come to her later. Not on Peter, but on the one who is called the disciple whom Jesus loved. The disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, some people, in fact, the general opinion is that this was John. John, the son of Zebedee, the brother of James, who had been a fisherman in Galilee called by Jesus. But it doesn't actually say that in the Bible. So let's just think about this person for a moment. He's mentioned four times in the Gospels. He's mentioned first at the Last Supper, where he is the one who sits next to Jesus, has the place at his side for the meal. Then he is at the cross. He is at the foot of the cross with Jesus' mother Mary. He doesn't leave Jesus. The other disciples left, but this disciple stayed. He was the one that Jesus could trust. And then we've heard how he was there at the empty tomb. He was the one who saw and believed. And there is another reference to him, which we'll probably have in a later reading, about how he was there when Jesus appeared by the Sea of Galilee. This is, as I say, the disciple that Jesus could trust, the one who didn't let him down, perhaps the one we would most like to be. And we know, actually, that Jesus loved all his disciples. This is a reference to the disciple whom Jesus loved, but he wasn't a favorite. Jesus doesn't have favorites. And if you think about our relationship with him now, we don't think of ourselves as being Jesus' favorite. But we do, we can, and I think we should all think of ourselves as the disciple whom Jesus loves. So we have been in our hearts with Jesus at Maundy Thursday, as that disciple had been at the Last Supper. We've been with him on Good Friday, as that disciple was at the foot of the cross. And now, in our hearts at Easter, we can stoop down at the entrance to the tomb. We can see and believe. So we can believe that the tomb was empty. But what do we think that actually means? Does it just mean that Jesus had resuscitated, that life had been restored somehow to that dead body? I think the real meaning of the event goes much deeper than that, and that is the meaning that God gives to it. The real meaning of things is how they appear in the mind of God. From God's point of view, this is a cosmic victory, a global victory. This is the triumph of right over wrong. It is the beginning of a new creation. This is how God puts right everything that has gone wrong with the world. We can't, of course, read the mind of God, but we can get some idea of what is in his mind from reading passages from Scripture, especially in this case from the writings of St. Paul and the Gospel of St. John. This was a victory over sin and a victory over death. It was both, because the two are so closely bound up together. These are our two enemies, sin and death, and in his resurrection, Jesus overcomes them both. We are, of course, as we know, all imperfect in nature, and so we can't, in our imperfection, enter into a full relationship with a righteous and eternal God. It's only when sin is conquered that we can escape from death as well. So, as we have been meditating in Holy Week, Christ has set us free from guilt and condemnation. An atoning sacrifice has been made for us. And in the resurrection that we celebrate today, this shows that that sacrifice has been accepted by God, and it shows us that not just sin, but death as well, has been conquered. The promise of eternal life can be found for us again and again, particularly in the Gospel of St. John. Just quote a few passages. Whoever believes in the Son, has eternal life. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my voice and believes who sent me, has eternal life. The time is coming, has now come, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. And most of all, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. These are mysterious words, of course, but they are nevertheless comforting words. And I'm not going to try and, as it were, demystify them. They stand there, and we need to bring them into our hearts and meditate on them. But there are in these passages just two words which might be misunderstood, and I would like just to say a word about each of these two words. The first is the word to believe. It's not just to believe that the tomb was empty. It's not just to have an opinion based on the evidence we have. It's not to make a guess about the probability of the empty tomb. It means that Jesus is the one we trust. It means that we dedicate our lives to him. It means that we come to him in worship. And he is all this because we believe that he is the Son of the Almighty God. That's what it means to believe. The other word that sometimes I think gets misunderstood is life. This doesn't just mean life as it might be understood by a biologist, say, or indeed by a doctor. It's not life as we know it now. The gospel is talking about the life that's lived to the full and lived in fellowship with Christ. And so it is a life that has no ending, because Christ himself has passed into eternity and he takes us with him. So we believe that we can share this life with Christ. We no longer need to fear death, because death has been defeated. As St. Paul writes, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that is the victory that we are celebrating today, a global victory, a cosmic victory. But it is also a very personal experience for each one of us. The crucifixion was a public event seen by hundreds, thousands maybe, of people in Jerusalem. But the resurrection was a private encounter. As it said in our first reading, he was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen. And one such witness was Mary Magdalene. Peter and the other disciples went away, leaving Mary by the tomb, crying. But then she looked inside the tomb, and she saw there two angels, angels in dazzling white. And in Luke's Gospel they say to her, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." But Mary was not really able to take this in. I think in a sense she was still living Good Friday, as some people may be today, living Good Friday and not yet really living Easter morning. And she said, "They've taken the Lord away, and I don't know where they put him." But then Jesus himself appeared to her. And in the frame of mind she was in, she didn't actually recognize him until he spoke to her. Then he called her by name, just saying, "Mary." And she cried out, "Rabboni," which means teacher. She didn't call him "my Lord" or "my God," because that perhaps had not yet been revealed to her. She just knew that the teacher she had known and loved, the friend that she thought she had lost, had returned to her. And that was her Easter experience. So today, may that, something like that, be our Easter experience too. There is a lot of theology which might occupy our minds, but we've time to think about that over the weeks ahead in the season of Easter. But first of all, we need in our hearts to meet with the risen Jesus, who is our teacher and our friend. So let us pray. Loving Saviour, teacher, friend, now enthroned in majesty, we give you thanks for the great victory you have won on our behalf. Open our eyes to see your glory. Open our ears to hear your word. And open our hearts to receive the love that you are pouring upon us. May we share the joy of your resurrection now and for all eternity. Amen.